Okay, thank you. Reconvene to open session. Can we have the roll call, please?
Excuse me. Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Storm?
Here.
Director Tarnowski?
Here.
Vice President Ohilski? President Wright?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go to number six. Report out of closed session meeting of August 26th and September 3rd. Mr. Seitz.
Yes, I'm going to be reporting on two different closed sessions, one at a special meeting last week on August 26th, and the one today. Both dealt with the same subject under Government Code Section 54956.9D1, and that is a groundwater adjudication. In both cases, they heard a report from legal counsel, gave direction, but took no other reportable action. No discussion regarding the bankruptcy today.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to number eight, public comment for items not.
Ice is here from Moss Levy Hartzman, and he will be making the presentation.
Very well, thank you. Mr. Geis, welcome.
Hi.
So my name is Adam Geis, as I was introduced, from Moss Levy and Hartzheim, the company that did the 13-14 fiscal audit for Los Osos. And I just kind of wanted to go over some of the audit. So to start off with, and one of the more important things on the audit, if you turn right to page one, the independent auditor's report, I wanted to point out that disclaimer of opinion was issued. Essentially, this means that there was not enough information that was available in order to get a full understanding of everything that was within the district's books. And as we pointed out in the letter, it was mostly due to lack of records of compensated absences as of the date June 30, 2014. And then also due to the amount of journal entries that were made to the general ledger in order to correct account balances, it made the general ledger very difficult to track. So that doesn't mean that all of the numbers in the audit are incorrect or anything like that. That simply means that we did not have enough information to get reasonable assurance on those on some items. Going forward in the audit, if you turn to page six, this shows the summary of the assets and liabilities in the general fund and the fire fund, as well as the other governmental funds. As you can see, for the governmental funds of the district, most of the assets held are in cash, and there's a low amount of liabilities against those assets. And then page 8 is the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. And this one, there's a couple items here. If you look down towards the bottom, you'll see extraordinary item, gain loss from debt restructuring adjustment. And that is each of the funds that had some kind of balance resulting from the bankruptcy, either the gain or loss on the bankruptcy is reflected in those numbers. You'll note that those are positive gains, and that essentially means that the liabilities forgiven in the bankruptcy and those funds were in excess of the assets used to pay for them. And then there's also a small prior period adjustment in the general fund, and that one was an old accounts receivable balance that looked like it was probably collected a few years ago, and you know was no longer an item that was going to be collected. Going forward to page 11. Page 11 is the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position for the proprietary funds, the water fund, the refuse fund, and the wastewater treatment project fund. As you can see here, And as you guys well know, the Refuse Fund and the Wastewater Treatment Fund didn't have a whole lot of items going through them this year. The Refuse Fund was essentially sold off to the county as part of the bankruptcy. And the Wastewater Treatment Project Fund, you'll note the prior period adjustment of almost $13 million. A small amount of that was due to GASB 65, which changed the accounting for bond issuance costs. But the majority of that was moving the bond out of the Wastewater Treatment Project Fund, because the bond that was issued back in 2002 moved that out of the project fund. Going forward, on page 25, you'll see the summary of the capital assets that are with the district. These are the governmental assets, and that is primarily the fire fund that holds most of those assets. And then on page 26 is for the business type activities, and that would be the assets of the water fund. As you can see, the retirements for the $22 million of construction in progress, that was the write-off of assets left over from the original wastewater treatment plant project when it was frozen. The statement of long-term liabilities on page 27, note 5. Again, some of the prior period adjustments in here. On the PERS side fund, it was discovered that the safety plan with PERS, which was for the fire employees, actually was essentially overfunded back in 2006 when the side fund was created. And so when that amount was added in, it created a asset for the PERS side fund instead of the liability that existed for the miscellaneous plan. And then in the wastewater treatment project fund, again, the moving out of the liability for the bond, and then the recording of a loan payable to the fiduciary fund. And this was back in 2000. And then again on page 32. Well, 31 gives some of the highlights of the resolving of the bankruptcy case. And then page 32 goes into a little bit more detail on the prior period adjustments that I already mentioned. And then on the government auditing standards letter, which I believe was attached with the audit report, these are findings and recommendations that we issued at the end of the audit to the district. And just to point out on these, the finding we issued, you know, the criteria, condition, and then our recommendation. District's corrective action plan was written by management as a plan to fix the findings. And as I discussed earlier, essentially findings 2014-2 and 2014-3 were the reasons that we gave the no opinion on the audit report. And final part of that letter, findings 2013-1-3, those were findings that were issued in the audit report last year, and then the current status of the findings. So finding 2013-1 for the employee debit cards.
Yes. Any questions from the board? Yes.
I have a couple about some inconsistencies about the bond reserve payment that show up. And I'm not really sure if it was just numbers, bad numbers that you had or where that came from. But on page 28 and 31 of your report, you talk about the district on page 28, loan payable to fiduciary fund. The district used 751,268 bond reserve funds on September 1st, 2006. On page 31, that amount is given as 714.
Yes, that amount actually on page 28 was a typo in the original draft, and it was corrected in the final financial statements that got sent out to the district. So when that was drafted to you, that mistake was discovered by management, and it has been corrected in the financial statements.
Okay, is the same thing true then of the note that as of June 30th, there again on 28, June 30th, 2014, the district owed $279,003 toward this, and on page 31, a year later,
You know, that may be an additional typo in the number. Because the amount that should be owed as of June 30, 2014 is the $279,003.
Yeah, and I saw that reported somewhere else in a chart, but it just made me wonder how we could owe more a year later if we've been making payment.
Okay.
Okay. The payments. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you hear Kathy's response?
No.
The information that was in there for 13-14 was based on what was in the books. That was before the audit was conducted by U.S. Bank. And since that time, U.S. Bank has conducted the audit, and it's as of June 30th, 2015, it's $296,834.
So we didn't have that information at the time the audit was done.
That's correct. That information was not available.
But it's in the audit report.
And he took strictly what was in the books, which was incorrect at the time.
Any other questions, Chuck?
Maybe later.
Okay. Any others? Yes.
Yeah. On the two things that prevented the clean opinion, compensated absence and management override of internal controls, I'm wondering what is should something else have happened? Could you not, in the time given, follow the ledger entries or? I know that some of what you do is a result of sampling, but this kind of reads to me like you couldn't follow the entries that were in there. I don't know. Can you just maybe expound more on these two things since you flagged them as significant?
Sure, sure. So the compensated absences, essentially with the district's payroll system, you can look at compensated absences as of the current date, or as of the last payroll period. But the system does not allow you to go back in time and print out exact data as of some historical date. And, you know, due to the circumstances, I think, of the staff turnover, that information must have been lost in terms of the staff knowing that that needed to be done on June 30th in order to have that data. And so we were unable to find any reports that were run as of June 30th, 2014. We did do testing on current balances, ins and outs of the compensated absences during our payroll testing, and that part of the system seemed to be working, but a lot of it had to deal with entries to make corrections because of the bankruptcy. But what resulted was there's a lot of ins and outs in the books and journal entries that were entered and then reversed and then corrected, and it made it very difficult to unravel and follow exactly where, you know, one balance moved to another in order to get the correction completed. Also, as part of our recommendation, we recommended that any journal entries that were done should be booked by the district accountant, and in order to have some kind of review over the journal entries and proof of someone other than the person making the journal entry looking at the journal entry and reviewing it to add additional controls. Because ideally, when the system's working properly, you shouldn't have to make a whole lot of journal entries for regular items, because those automatically get booked through the payroll disbursements, receipts processes. But due to some of the other issues, such as the bank reconciliations, the bankruptcy, stuff like that, a lot of items had to go through and get corrected and recorrected and so forth.
So is this ever going to go away, or is this just the foundation we have going forward because of that?
You know, I would think that would be something that would be corrected going forward with the controls that the district has in place for getting, you know, disbursements and receipts in there. The bankruptcy was something that should have been all cleared up in the 13-14 fiscal year. Bank reconciliations being done in a timely manner will help make sure that the books are correct as they go forward each month. And then with the district's plan to implement controls over the journal entries, that should be an item that can be corrected.
Okay, so just over time, following new stuff will eventually diminish the importance of this. Because, I mean, if it's you can't give an opinion on it as of the end of 2014, just correcting what happens in the future doesn't correct it.
That's true. However, most of the items in the books, we were able to get a good assurance of what's in there. We know how much is in cash. We know how much is in capital assets. So a lot of the items that are in there, we do know what the balances are, so we can be confident in those balances going forward.
Oh, okay. Good.
So necessarily, you know, some of the ins and outs you might not be able to track, but the actual ending balances for those items.
Okay, any other questions from the board?
I would like your opinion about the journal, multiple journal entries, ins and outs, and that kind of thing, and how that relates to the bankruptcy. I guess I'm puzzled. It seems like the bankruptcy may have resulted in a whole slew of work that needed to be done, but should have been single entry. I mean, you got to pay out, you get an order, you pay it out. Why in and out? Why journal entries shuffled around so much? That doesn't sound like it
right.
Is necessarily bankruptcy related, but maybe poor internal controls or just something, I don't know, something other than the fact that we had heavy workload. Seems mm-hmm. like there was something else going on.
And I can't speak, you know, exactly what was going on with management at the time, but I know that during the course of that year with the bankruptcy, there was three different accountants, two different general managers. There was time when there was no accountant, time in between accountants. So that may have had something to do with that. But for any other information, I think you'd have to go to management.
Okay, any further questions from the board before I open it to the public? Okay, seeing none, we'll open up questions to the public. What we're going to do is answers will follow all the questions to keep it orderly. So first up, please. Answers of questions you have will be condensed at the end, not as we go.
We're before this one, and I think it'd be good to hear it out loud if you recall, I'm sure you do. John Eric asked my question about not having enough information, and if given more time, could you have gotten that information? Why isn't... I'm still stumped as to why information is lost or not available. Something was said at our finance committee meeting about your management letter and why there isn't one. I understood that when the question was raised, the answer from staff was that they had to write it, but you wrote the last one and the ones before. I'd like to know where the Moss Levy management letter is on this audit. And what you just said about the change in management and the change in accountants, so two managers and three accountants in that year, he left about November. December it was? Okay, thank you, Ann. So that's halfway through the year, and the bankruptcy payouts, and again, I'm going from memory, I think was around February. So it was after she was gone. So our steady, what we knew, whether, you know, I mean, nobody's perfect, but we knew the excuse or the answer that it's management changes.
Okay.
The timeline doesn't add up for me, Mike.
Okay. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Lindy Owen. I guess I'm just a little frustrated that the confusion when our general manager was not a specialist in water, which is kind of what we really needed. And if we had problems, if her past problems seemed to be in accounting, I know when she came on, she brought her someone that she knew in to take over accounting for a period of time. I guess this possible ins and outs is just really frustrating. It's, to me, it's very sloppy, and I think that it is telltale of why this audit and final budget have not gone smoothly. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. Three things. We keep hearing about the bankruptcy was such a burden on staff. Did you analyze what the process was of settling the bankruptcy? Because it was my understanding that the bankruptcy court issued a decision on what the percentage payback would be. The calculations were done. We've seen the list of how many creditors were paid. I think it's a page and a half. It's not, but that's constantly been the excuse of why we are where we're at. I'm never bought that's the whole story there. And then on the bond redemption, the couple comments that Chuck made, did you actually get to see the reconciliation by U.S. Bank? Because there's a number of us that believe that either there was some mysterious payment made at some point, because $25,000 a year times the 10 years since that happened doesn't get you the payback number that would reduce the $700,000+ down to the $296,000. I'm just curious if you saw that reconciliation, if you had an opinion on it. And then the third thing, for me, the comment under your management override of internal controls, the general, wait a minute, here it is, the staff turnover and weaknesses in reporting of internal controls. Staff turnover and weaknesses in the reporting of internal controls. The general ledger is difficult to follow and trace balances. In addition, management's override of the internal controls creates a lack of proper segregation of duties, which could result in a misstatement in the financial statements and conceal any misappropriation of assets. And I'm not saying
comment and bring it back and answers to some of the questions, like, you want to go ahead?
Sure. You know, some of those questions I think were probably directed at management as opposed to me. Let's see. The prior audit was an unqualified opinion back in 2013. The information that was lost, and that would be in particular the compensated absences balance. And basically, the proprietary knowledge of knowing that that report had to be run on that certain date, for some reason or another, was not passed down or written down or communicated. Something happened in that report, was either not run or not saved. So I don't know. I don't know anything else there. In terms of the management letter, I'm not sure which letter you were referring to. There was a management discussion analysis included in the audit report last year. That is required to be written by management. Another thing that is sometimes called the management letter is the letter of findings and recommendations that we send to management, which is the government auditing standards letter that was included. So I'm not sure, you know, which one you're referring to. But a decision was made by management to go ahead and not do the management discussion and analysis letter in the audit, and that was disclosed in the audit report. Essentially, the management discussion analysis letter, it's meant to summarize financial statements and discuss the trends and changes and financial highlights going forward. And I believe the decision was made just to go ahead and get the audit done so that the audit and budget could get finalized. So I can leave that up to management to answer. The timeline with AMPI and the payouts in February, that was correct. The payouts, however, were not done by AMPI. That was after she had left. And Mike, I believe, did not come on until, I think it was at the end of June, right? And let's see. We did see a reconciliation of the bond reserves and calculations, but apparently there was another final one done from the bank that we might not have had in these numbers. But we did
no,
see.
No, the one that you got is the one that the bank approved.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it was just the timing, the payments. Okay. And then, yeah, the reason why there was a no opinion and we mentioned the controls was essentially because management override of internal controls basically means a lot of journal entries that are done. It's not that it happened or anything, you know, necessarily was wrong, but it's that it's going outside of the regular controls of the disbursements and receipts system. And in order to make sure that there's good control over those kind of journal entries, that's what we were recommending, that there be a person designated to make entries and another person designated to review and approve those entries to ensure that there's documentation of at least two people looking and approving the journal entries to add an additional layer of control there.
Okay. Do you have any comments? Okay.
I'm really concerned about the management override of internal controls because that's a basic breakdown of your accounting principles. You have checks and balances in place for a reason, and if you violate those, things can go wrong. It means small things can go wrong. You pay people overtime when they didn't earn it. And why petty cash expenditures exceed that limit? That should never happen. That's just basic. That's a rule that shouldn't be broken. And I would like to see that management letter. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. President.
I was going to ask a question first, please.
Okay.
Let me ask in regards to the findings. Every one of these have been implemented now?
That is correct.
Okay. And there's nothing outstanding as far as the implementation. Everything is on track.
No. And we've talked to the respective staff, particularly in one department who did the petty cash. That was caught prior to the audit. So that was already implemented.
Okay.
With regards to the journals, your current accountant looks at every journal and posts every journal to make sure, and has since the day he arrived. With regards to the MD&A, the auditors have told me that if you truly want that, now that we have the audit work papers, we can prepare that. The problem with we didn't have the audit working papers beforehand, so that would have meant that your audit would have still not been out because we'd be working on the MD&A. it is management's responsibility to write that. So we will be happy to write that now that we have the working papers, and the auditor is willing to include that in the final audit. It will not, however, get done until probably towards the first part of October, because, as you know, I will be gone for the next 2 weeks.
There are many conclusions and recommendations and observations in this report. When we do this a year from now, can we hearken back to the things that were raised by your work, as well as the analyses, and how are we doing in those things? Maybe there was some ambiguity, or we made some the things that could potentially be quote-unquote issues, so that we can revisit that we've done best practice or better practices and so on. Is that, can we build that in a year?
That's automatic. If you will see, last year's findings are included this year, and it tells whether we have what we have done with regards to those, and they have tested that to make sure that the procedures were implemented.
Well, we don't have them. We don't have that.
Well, it's conditional.
So then, once we get it, is it? It's deemed
accepted.
Once you get it, it's deemed complete at that point.
Okay. I move that we receive and file this fiscal year 2013-14 audit report contingent upon receiving a management letter within the next 60 days.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, that's management discussion and analysis, please.
Correct.
Thank you.
That's
okay. That's good?
Yes.
Okay, second?
Second.
Vote, please.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes. Okay, Adam, thank you very much.
Feel free to
stay if you wish. Or not.
If it's free. You can feel free.
You can feel free to be free. Thanks again. Okay, well, now we'll move on to item number 8, public comment for items not on the agenda. Please step forward, state your name.
Peggy Pavick. I've just got a few concerns. First off, I'd like to know when these meetings will return to the community center. Sea Pines is not an acceptable place to hold community meetings. And since President Wright and General Manager Kivley were the only two members who made that decision, then I think it's only fair that the two of them pick up the tab for having the meetings, and maybe no more unilateral decisions by these two. I'd like to comment on Ms. Kivley's letter to the editor published in New Times on August 13th. In it, she comments about LOCSD water customers taking extraordinary measures to conserve water. She talks the talk, but it's doubtful whether she walks the walk. Somehow I can't quite picture her standing in a receptacle placed in her shower to recapture and reuse that water. This woman was too lazy.
Peggy, that is off base.
Well,
no, yes, I'm not going to allow personal attacks.
Freedom of speech.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. She was too lazy to step outside the crowded lobby during a small claims court action for a private mediation conference with a representative of the case. And obviously, she's too lazy to get the figures necessary together to the county so that we can lower our interest rate for the sewer loan. And another thing, after reading all the email correspondence between Ms. Kivley and the Tornowski cheering team, it's clear the Tornowskis and Ms. Kivley were counting on getting approval of that Verizon cell tower to bring in added revenue to fund her plush new offices that they were salivating over. Mr. Tarnowski even went so far as to seek advice from Ms. Kibley prior to him running for the board of directors. What I'd like to know is just how much influence Ms. Kibley had in getting Tarnowski elected. Our emails are all public record and memorialized for all to see, and it's quite a read.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I feel like every time I come here, I'm following up on unfinished business. And last month I asked this question from a statement that Mr. Seitz said, and I didn't get a satisfactory answer or an answer at all. And the question was, based on a statement you made at the July meeting where you said that if the ISJ is not, and I'm paraphrasing, blessed by the court by the end of the year, that the basin management would go back to the county or go to the county. So I would like that confirmed. I know that's what you said. What I don't know is if that's accurate. And I think I need clarification. I asked this very question. I mentioned this to Mr. Gibson, and he would not. Adamant that he wasn't going to comment on that led me to believe that what you said is what you said, and that that is a real possibility, and I think we need to talk about it. It's our basin, and we need to talk about it sooner as opposed to later. The other thing that I want to, this other unfinished business, it took months for Ms. Kibley to write a letter of request for assistance with funding the Bay Ridge projects, and you haven't had a report. As far as I know, she didn't even give you the letter. I got it from the county. You still do not have, and this was at the close of last board meeting where Mr. Cicinia mentions that we could ask the county to engage with the state on reducing the SRF loan interest rate. And this is something that Jeff's been asking the county for years. But she said, oh, you don't have to put that on an agenda. We can just take that direction by consensus. And it's not done a month later. And she's going on vacation tomorrow. She'll be gone for 2 more weeks. Couldn't possibly whip out a 15-minute letter asking to save this community as much as $12 million, depending on how much interest the rate is reduced. I'm happy that you just asked her for a management letter for the audit. Make her do her job. The community center was mentioned. This room is not conducive to meetings, and I think we need an update on the real estate at 10th Street, that building.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
On the relocating of our office, I would like to see why we need to move location and spend more money for a office when we do less than we've ever done in the past as a CSD. And the meeting location, this is definitely inadequate. We had to listen to the beer drinkers, try to overhear a meeting through the partiers outside. The State Revolving Fund Loan Interest Rate Reduction Letter, she was requested by you to write it and send it. Could you tell us why that didn't happen? It is important. I'm still disturbed that the accounting, which is Ms. Kibley's main goal, to make sure that the water department, we have fabulous staff, and with all that great staff, we still can't get our bookkeeping together, and our audit has to be last minute. And I would like an accounting of the amount of advertising, how much money we've spent with Barnett and Cox. I mean, I look at what they're supposed to be doing, and it appears that we're actually paying them to get articles in the Tribune, which I just find a little bit offensive. They're fluff articles, basically, sort of pointing to the fact that, and did the board approve? And why did we waste so much time on something that clearly upset the entire neighborhood and makes the CSD look bad? So those are all my questions, if you can answer. I just also wanted to point out Ron Munns, who had an opportunity to become our general manager. This is the kind of stuff they put out in San Luis Obispo. It's fabulous. And why do we have to pay Barnett and Cox to recreate something that's not even, it isn't even usable? It's just, you know, but here's great stuff that the city of San Luis puts out, and I'm certainly thinking that we could have gotten approval of using some of their material to do a better job than what we got for whatever we paid for Barnett and Cox. Thank you.
Okay. Next speaker.
Richard Margetson, just to remind you, somebody who comes to this microphone can pretty much say whatever they want. It's for the person that believes they were offended to take an action to remedy that at a later point. We've gone over this many times. Your last board meeting, you found out that you were going to have a meeting on the budget. It was scheduled for September 3rd, a few days before the end of the month. The manipulation of trying to keep the public out of the process the last couple of years. Because of that change in the audit coming forward, the budget being finalized, there was no opportunity for the Finance Committee, or on purpose it was not put on the agenda, to have that final look at the budget. Also, Emergency Services was very adamant that they wanted to see that budget before it was finalized. Didn't happen. So you had to hold this emergency special meeting on the 1st. Budget gets approved because you had really no choice. But you put some conditions on it that you wanted to see a revised budget or the mid-year budget adjustments. Language was changed at the end. I guess what I'm getting at is don't let it just be a mid-year budget adjustment without it being thoroughly reviewed. CPI numbers that were produced by staff that ended up being wrong. Little things, but they mean dollars. It amounts to money. It amounts to transparency. It gives the community the feeling that things aren't all done behind closed doors, because when you look at the process of what led up to you getting here tonight with this audit after the budget, it's completely inappropriate the way that process played out, and it should never happen again. And if you're going to have, if like Marshall wants this revised or mid-year budget back by the end of December, remember what happens in December in this community?
Okay.
Nothing.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Any other public comment?
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. It's kind of astounding when someone in the public starts ragging on me. I'm just another member of the public. If anybody wants to do a public records request, I've sent exactly one email to Kathy Kivley, giving her information on who the person was from Verizon, the contact on that. Also, there were other supporters that did not come to the meeting that wrote letters that were not read into the public record. It wasn't everybody hating the Verizon project. And, you know, I was the only person who showed up on one side, but there were letters behind me, so it wasn't just that barrage of people. Also, I'm just accusations of the board and the staff in particular. I find it really annoying to have to sit here and listen to that time after time. I know there's nothing I can do about it. Also, it seemed like there was plenty of committee meetings before the bankruptcy happened. What was all the good of that? The bankruptcy happened, it was horrible, and no community input seemed to have one whit of difference on that.
Please, please.
You know, you don't have to laugh in the back. It's really rude. I don't do that to you. I don't do that to you.
No.
I'm not making a joke.
No comment,
no,
please.
I'm not making
audience.
A joke.
Anyway, I much prefer this room to the community center for this type of meeting. I find that place impossible to hear in. It's cold, it's drafty, and it's cavernous, and it has a very bad vibe. So I hope we never return there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Please, in the back. Please. Thank you. Okay, I've got a couple comments regarding South Bay Community Center. The South Bay Board has put a committee together. We heard about it last week. We're waiting for dates. We're going to be getting together as soon as we get coordination on the dates. In regards to the Bay Ridge loan, the county is it's going to go before their next debt committee meeting on that. And on the SRF loan, there is. We are having discussions with the county on that.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. I appreciate, again, the opportunity to come before you and give you a chief's report this year, or this month, excuse me, will be for July 2015. Prior to starting, I'd like to point out that you have before you a fire safety flyer in front of you, and you each have a pencil. I'd like you to put that on your desk to remind you that on October 4th through the 10th of this year is Fire Prevention Week, a nationwide event, and Station 15 South Bay will be participating as we always do. We will hold our fire safety fair. As you remember, last year it was renamed from an open house to a fire safety fair because there's an emphasis on instruction and training and interaction. That date for the fire safety fair will be October 10th. We have secured the facility. It'll be at the Hoggins Shopping Center again out in the parking lot, as we've done the last several years. A couple of the goals we had when we decided to go this year was to really work on meeting the public and having the public meet the firefighters. I feel it's very cool since we've turned this into a safety fair is education. So we'll have a lot of the similar events as we had last year for children, and we're bringing in some additional stuff for adults. So it's going to be a educational event for young and old. And then the third thing that we do this week, or this day, excuse me, is we raise money for the Alicia Ann Ruse Byrne Foundation. If you want more information on the Alicia Ann Ruse Byrne Foundation, you can go to www.aarbf, that's Alpha Alpha Romero Bravo Frank .org, and you can see what those individuals do for children and families of children who are burned. So a little bit more onto what we're going to do on October 10th at the Hagens event. There's going to be a barbecue by Nate Jones. Nate Jones is one of your reserve firefighters who's been here for many, many years. He's an award-winning barbecue individual. He goes up and down and around with a big thing. We'll have a pulled pork sandwich, coleslaw. I'll have tickets available for you at your next board meeting to purchase, so bring $10 at least if you want to. San Luis Ambulance, the Emergency Services Advisory Committee of this district. The Estero Bay Community Emergency Response Team will be there. The Sheriff's Department has said they will be there as well with their Viper. We'll just do lots of stuff. I'll have more on it next meeting, but I really wanted to get that in your calendar, and don't forget your pencil. To our July meeting. July Chief's Report. In the month of July, Station 15 responded to a total of 81 calls for assistance. Three of those were simultaneous. Two of those simultaneous calls required advanced life support. Of the 81, 60 were medical aids, with 31 requiring advanced life support from your paramedics. One Cal Fire firefighter rode into the hospital of San Luis in that month. Three calls were for staging. Six were reported as traffic collisions, and three were reported as fires. Company 15 came back a total of 15 times to support the staff. Detailed in and amongst this report, item four, reserve firefighter paramedic Brent McNichols resigned in good standing. He took a full-time job for the Sacramento Metropolitan Fire District. It's a very good district, and he did very well for us, and I'm sure he'll do very well for them. He's moving his family up there and is already in the rookie academy. Turning the page to item five is the previously reported information on the CPR AED class that we hosted. Six, seven, and eight detail five different tours and safety fairs that we participated in. Item nine details the fire prevention steps we've been doing the last couple months for hazard abatement. This item talks about the third inspection, which were done on July 13th, and the fourth inspection, which were done on July 22nd. I can tell you at this point, we have a field to look at. If you have any additional questions or concerns or comments, I'd be happy to answer them for you now.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any questions?
I would just like one clarification made regarding the Emergency Services Advisory Committee meeting. I believe there was an incorrect assumption made that the chief would not be available for that meeting. I don't believe he was ever contacted to ask if he could be present at a meeting. So I think it was an incorrect assumption.
Well, I'll disagree because there were emails on that. Okay, thank you, Chief. Well, Chief, were you out of town?
Were you available?
Through the month of July and August, I was in and out of the county. I'd go out for a week and a half, come back for a couple of days. So it's, you know, whether I was here on that Tuesday night or a Tuesday night, I was here very often through that in and out.
Okay, thank you.
Which reflects a decrease in production by approximately 38% from last year. Our residential usage per capita per day, though, based only on the residential and using our production numbers, is down to 55.6 gallons per person per day, so we're really happy to see that. I think they're doing a great job. 57% of our service area was billed for August for 14.3 million gallons of consumption, and this time period is from July 10th through August 10th. Now, this generated a proposed revenue of $154,995. So these numbers represent a decrease in both consumption and revenue by 30% and 17%, respectively. Your packet contains graphs and tables for your comparisons. At the bottom of the first page, there's a breakdown of production and runtime hours on the individual wells. As far as water conservation, the state announced rebates for both turf replacement and toilet replacement, and we put links from our website to that. The county is still providing their water conservation rebate program for everybody in the prohibition zone through 2017. The one that the state is doing is based on a first come first served basis, and there's, you know, they will get to it, but it doesn't matter where you get your toilet, or, you know, the county will go ahead and count that as long as you've got the low flow recommendation that's required. Drainage, there's been reports of a monster El Nino coming in late fall or early winter. We encourage our residents to protect their property when rain's in the forecast, and we provide free sand in Los Osos at the fire station and also down at our water operations facility at 8th and El Moro. We sell sandbags for 45 cents each, or a bundle of 10 for $4.50. And the district really does have limited drainage responsibility. We maintain 4 pump stations, and we've spent approximately $600 in the last fiscal year on maintenance of 2 of the pumps. And the last capital expenditure was really in October 2012 for over $17,500, and that was to replace one of the submersible pumps at 8th and El Moro Drainage. Even though we're in a drought, we need to keep in mind, but even if you don't, they welcome anybody to show up that day, and they'll give you all the paperwork you need to fill out and put you to work. So they still have some areas in Los Osos that need volunteers. So with that, I am available for questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board?
I just want to say thank you for the update on the pumps. I've had some questions about that, and it's good to know. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
An excellent report, and I appreciate hearing it every time we have a meeting. I think it's neither trivial, but it's unbelievable.
Okay, thank you. Okay, General Manager report.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board. This has been a very busy 30 days since our last meeting. I spent a great deal of time preparing the written information and the data that's included in the audit report with regards to the district and the bankruptcies. I updated the budget material again for the 6th, 7th, and 8th time. I participated in extensive, numerous conference calls in trying to resolve the ISJ. I finalized the MOU negotiations, and I have forwarded the draft contract to SLOSIA for ratification and presentation to you at a future date. In addition, I've been preparing PERS payroll analysis, which is required, and reconciliation regarding outstanding payroll checks that are stale dated. That's those checks that have not been cashed that exceed 120 days, and the respective reserve firefighters have been notified. And finally, I've been performing human resource tasks and functions. And with that, it concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? Okay, seeing none, thank you. LOCAC. Did you run a talk? Mr. Seitz, excuse me.
I just figured I could start off by answering a question that was asked, and that is, what happens on January 1st if we don't have a stipulated judgment? Well, what I said some months ago is that most likely, or it would happen, is that the ISJ would cease to exist and it would be taken over by the state, which means the county, basically. But that's not in SGMA. That's not written as a part of SGMA. It's actually found in the legislative history, and so that is not an absolute matter, but it is something that is there as a possibility. Next week, on Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors will be considering the stipulated judgment, and most likely that document will become available for public view on Wednesday of next week, assuming that they support it. The next hearing on the matter and in the courts is October 14th. We don't know what time of the day that is yet. We know it will be on that day. The court hasn't given us whether that will be the morning session or the afternoon session. Starting on Wednesday of next week, notice will be going out to all well owners and those who could have wells, notifying them of that hearing date, describing the stipulated judgment and the basin plan, and telling them that they have a right to intervene, but emphasizing that none of their water rights are being affected by the judgment. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Apologize for the skip.
That's okay.
Okay, LOCAC now.
Good evening. I'm going to start with the report from Carrie Brown, the planner for Los Osos. The Planning Commission approved Starbucks' request for substantial conformance, which means the next step is the Board of Supervisors. There was an appeal, and that appeal was denied. Supervisor Gibson talked to us a bit about the desalinization plan at Diablo Canyon, and most of you, I'm sure you know about about the upping the capacity or using all the capacity and then providing water to it. So the focus is on getting north at 5 p.m. That's coincidentally the next LOCAC meeting. And there's a town hall meeting being planned for early next year. And, of course, the lateral installations will start in 2016. We do have an update on the 4th Street. I talked some about that last month. The fire marshal did put the kibosh on any on speed humps of any kind. Three different traffic engineers surveyed whatever it is that they actually do technically, the traffic on 4th Street, and could find no justification for putting it in stop signs, which is unfortunate, but there we have it. So Jeremy is putting together, Jeremy Gent, who is Public Works, is putting together some suggestions for it. The one that seems to be most likely is a painted roundabout, which should have some effect on traffic calming. We'll see. You'll all be happy to know, if you don't know already, that the project for the CSD's project was recommended for approval unanimously, which is actually pretty cool for LOCAG. We had a presentation from People's Self-Help Housing, and it was interesting, very interesting to me, and they already have a presence in Los Osos. And actually, I went to a second and if you just basically what People's Help Housing does is they provide funding and supervision for people to build their own houses. We reviewed the community plan update comments. We're going to do a final polishing hopefully next week and send those off. And there you have it. Questions?
Okay, thanks. Questions?
The 4th Street painted roundabout, where on 4th Street?
Pismo. Pismo on 4th Street, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting
a roundabout project. Takes a little more room than a typical intersection.
Yeah. Maybe it's a square about it. Yeah.
We haven't seen it. We'll see it. When we see it, you know, I'll share. I'll bring exhibits and, you know, I'll bring my projector. We can use the wall.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. The only comment I have, too, as far as the roads being resurfaced, someone had made a comment about the slurry seal over on Inyo is rather sloppy. And anybody has a concern, you can contact Wade Horton at the Public Utility or Public Works Department.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. How's that? I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce is holding its September mixer next Wednesday, September 9, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Spooner Ranch House in Montana de Oro State Park. The ranch house has been redesigned to include a local history exhibit, gift shop, and period furniture throughout the house. Expect to network with Los Osos business leaders, reconnect with old friends, and make some new ones. Again, that's next Wednesday, September 9, at the Spooner Ranch House. And as always, you don't need to be a member to attend our mixers. And it's open to the public. The insider's tip. The chamber mixer ends at 7, but you might want to stick around because the sunset is at 7:18. Oktoberfest is the 37th annual Oktoberfest and 10th annual car show will again be held on 2nd Street in Baywood Park, Sunday, October 25th. Admission is free. For the entire day, Baywood Park will be bustling with live music, entertainment, a beer garden, food, arts, and crafts, a four-mile run hosted by Morro Bay. The Chamber is now the sole source for purchasing regional RTA passes, Regional Transit Authority passes. The local bank was selling them. They don't want to do it anymore. They asked us if we would do it, so we said yes. So our chamber hours are Monday through Friday, 10 to 4. I think you can still, most people get these passes online, I think, but for the few folks who, you know, want to walk in and buy a pass, they can now come to the chamber. And lastly, the chamber added 8 new memberships in August, and that's the highest monthly increase this year. So, thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, move on to item G, director's announcements of district community interests and reports. And under that, we're going to include FAC, so let's go with that first.
FAC met this Monday. We reviewed the warrant registers, and we're going to recommend in the future the FAC review non-payroll items over $10,000. We reviewed the prior year expenditures, in other words, up to the end of the last fiscal year, The major item was reviewing this audit report that we considered at the board tonight. We reviewed the district investment policy and recommended to the board that we largely keep the policy but consider further diversification of some of our deposits. We discussed potential two-year budget cycle with the notion to perhaps putting that into effect in the 17-18-19 cycle after an intervening election. And that's what we did. Anything I missed?
I think that's it.
All right.
Very good. Thank you. Any other kind of the rack?
It's clear that most of the basin plan had been pulled together a long time ago. And wastewater project implementation. And they pointed out that, well, we might get to the final judgment of the judicial issue that Mike was talking about. It was a narrow bunch of discussions items.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Anything else? Chuck? Anything? No? Very good. Okay. Let's move on to 10 public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. But before that, any items to be pulled by the board? Okay, seeing none. Yes, no.
I'd like to raise an issue. Is that feasible at this point?
In regards to the consent agenda?
Maybe not. Let's let it go.
Okay. Thanks. Anything? Okay, seeing none, we'll close it. Open up for public comment. Would you have something, John Eric?
No.
Okay. Okay. Public comment for items on the administrative committee reports. Please step forward and state your name for the record.
Lindy Owen. On the district legal counsel report, I'd like to hear a little more discussion about the well owners having a right to intervene because they were not even participating. I just find it really odd that we would have an ISJ that would have excluded them from even having to be responsible for our basin and yet give them the right to intervene and comment. So if you could address that, I know that all new wells have to have meters on them. If that's being done, I'd be surprised, but that is the new rule. And again, I see new fields being planted in our basin, and that's water that we have no control over. So that's more of a comment, but I also, if you could address how they have a right to intervene, I'd be curious. It's interesting that we're definitely conserving better than we've ever done, and getting down to 55 gallons, 55.6 is excellent. Again, we're going to start seeing the revenue not meeting the needs for taking care of our water basin infrastructure. And I think the public, I would love to have the public understand that better because I still hear everyone complain about using less and paying more. With the RAC meeting, Lou, I was just wondering too, still no discussion about looking at our basin plan, and I mean, we've been rejected from any kind of oversight from the Water Resources Advisory Council, and I just think that's kind of a failure, and I don't know why it happened, but it's obviously seems kind of political. The people self-help, so the fact that people self-help housing recently purchased empty lots here is really kind of disturbing because that's tying up money that can't be used to build affordable housing or help people build their own housing. So I think everybody needs to understand that the realtors are out there selling empty lots without full disclosure that we may be years, 10, 20 years away from ever getting to let people build on them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
OK,
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and in no particular order, I think Vicki mentioned it, the discussion that was had at LOCAC a little bit by the supervisor about desalination and Diablo Canyon. And Lou, you didn't expound on it too much tonight, but I understand that you did have some lengthy comments or some comments, excuse me, at yesterday's RAC, in that perhaps Los Osos might be interested. Personally, I am not interested. It's a shiny object. It's something we do not need to waste our time on. We have invested so much in our ISJ and our basin plan. I don't want to see us distracted. I don't want to see our staff distracted. It's not going to be feasible. And even having the conversations just wastes the time and takes away from the work we need to be doing now. The general manager's report, I guess, you know, lots of general managers actually write what might be interesting, and it also will help you keep track of the other work products that are falling behind and the shiny objects that she's chased, including the Verizon project and the 10th Street building. We do water. It's all we do. Chasing the Verizon. She never brought that back to the new board after you guys were elected. There, she may have had some direction by the previous board, but she just charged on and left the community out. And I've asked for those letters of support and the letters of opposition and all the accounting and the correspondence between Verizon and Ms. Kibley, and I got a letter back. Probably took less time than it would to write a letter asking for the state revolving fund, maybe more time than asking that letter be written, to tell me, she wrote me a letter back telling me it would be 2 months before I could see those records. 2 months for a public record.
Okay, thank
you. Mr. Seitz has a bill of $17,600 this month. How many more of those are we going to have?
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Richard Margetson. Bill, if you wouldn't mind, after public comment, could you, if you need silent auction items, could you say who to call or where they can be dropped off? And since we're talking about Phil a second, the Emergency Services Committee meeting, you know, this, was he asked, wasn't he? There's some emails in that. Phil, since I've known him, and this is going on 11 years now, is probably the most accommodating professional I've ever been associated with. He's always been shown the utmost respect for the committee members on Emergency Services Committee. He knew that they wanted a meeting. If you had asked him, I'll just leave it at that. Kathy's management report, I found it interesting on the budget revisions for the 7th, 8th, and 9th times or whatever. You guys almost didn't approve that on the 1st. There were board members who asked whether or not you had to approve that. So is the 10th, 11th, 12th, 15th, 18th, 20th time going to be the one that's actually right and has the numbers right? Because there's hundreds of discrepancies in that budget and misstatements and misassumptions. We keep hearing, you know, the bankruptcy was brought up by Lynette. Yeah, there were plenty of public meetings back then. And the reason the community center probably has a bad feeling for her being there, that's where Moving Forward, Save the Dream, Taxpayers Watch, all that, got defeated. It happened in that building. That's where the fight was. And if it hadn't have been for Taxpayer Watch, which she and her friends were a major part of, we might not have ended up in the bankruptcy. If the negotiation with the state and the SRF and the Water Board had been allowed to proceed.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yes. Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I would say it's entirely appropriate for Kathy Kivley to negotiate with Verizon. We have lost our, due to the bankruptcy, we have lost our solid waste income, and that's a pretty big chunk. Verizon was a pretty small amount to plug that up a little bit, and it's completely appropriate that whatever else we can find to improve district finances should be pursued, and it's absolutely counterproductive to cut someone off from that. 10th Street, I'm really sorry that didn't happen. Also, Mr. Margetson's rewriting of history is ridiculous. I don't even know, it's not worth it to rehash all that here, but when the project was stopped, it wasn't done according to the rules that the contract was signed under. You had to ask permission to stop. That did not happen. And Taxpayers Watch was really pretty incidental to stopping a project. The Water Board information is all online. You can find everything as to what actually happened. I'm sorry, but Mr. Margetson's characterization is completely incorrect. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Okay, seeing none, Mr. Seitz, you want to just expound a little bit on that question in regards to the well owner's intervention that Lindy brought up?
Right. Well, it's envisioned that the finance plan is going to involve the entire basin. That's what gives them the right to intervene, since they would potentially be paying for it. And because potentially, if we were to open up the litigation and include every individual that should be involved in a full basin adjudication, they would be involved in it. And so that's, we have to give them notice that we're doing this, that it's a basin plan for the entire basin, including their property. But again, we're not affecting their, anything in regards to their water rights.
Well,
that's incorrect.
Yeah, that's in. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, we have no general action items. Nothing was pulled. Go ahead.
I was going to say I'll move to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
Well, on the silent auction, do you have anything to say, Phil?
I will answer that one. The Harmony Brown and Lori.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, number 14. Any future agenda items? Okay. Seeing none. Closing statements by the board. Mr. Sasanian, we'll start at your end.
Tuesday, big day Tuesday at the county. We'll see what happens with the ISJ. And thanks, everyone, for continuing to show up to the meetings and care about your community. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Tarnowski.
I think we should adopt a motion with my colleagues.
We can do that in the bylaw update, I'd assume.
Not now.
No. Okay, Director Storm.
I'd like to thank the staff for the work on all these reports and the presentations and having all the extra meetings lately to keep us just under the wire there, and hopefully all goes well with the county. And thanks to everybody for coming out. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, thanks. Also, just a reminder, next week is cleanup week. You can put out up to 12 bags next week extra. If you have large items, they're $10 each. but you need to prearrange that with the garbage company, 543-0875. And also, everybody, mark your calendars for the safety fair, October 10th at the Hagen's, and you might have to pencil that in, parking lot. And Rite Aid, maybe the Rite Aid parking lot. Yeah, the Trader Joe's parking lot. Okay, and with that, meeting adjourned. Thank you. Oh.